Today is Saturday, February 26th, 2022. On this day in 1980, three members of the Mills family were murdered in their California home. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. Due to the graphic nature of this crime, listener discretion is advised. This episode includes descriptions of murder and mass suicide. We advise extreme caution for children under 13. Today, we're talking about the murder of the Mills family, four members of the cult known as the People's Temple, run by the infamous Jim Jones. Now let's go back to Berkeley, California on February 26, 1980. Mary Gustafson had plans to visit her daughter, Jeannie Mills, at her home that afternoon, so she was surprised to find that no one answered the door when she arrived. Not hearing anyone else inside, Mary let herself in and took a look around. But she didn't expect to stumble upon a horrible crime scene. 40-year-old Jeannie was dead in the bathroom with a single gunshot wound to the head. Her son-in-law, Al, had been executed in a similar fashion, out in the bedroom. And her 15-year-old granddaughter, Daphne, was shot twice in the head. Only she was still alive. Jeannie's mother also found her 17-year-old grandson, Eddie, unharmed. But Eddie's state was dumbfounding. He told police that during the killings, he was watching TV and smoking marijuana, completely unaware of what was going on. In a panic, Mary called for help. First responders rushed Daphne to the hospital, where she later succumbed to her wounds and died. Meanwhile, officers investigated the scene. In all the carnage, there appeared to be no sign of a struggle. So when the story hit the papers, many wondered if the killings were personal. And perhaps the Mills' dark past had something to do with it. For years, Jeannie and Al Mills were senior members of the People's Temple, a cult formed by the preacher Jim Jones. But in 1975, the family left the group and changed their names for their safety. The couple became well-known activists against the cult's practices. They created an organization called the Human Freedom Center in Berkeley to help others who had escaped Jones' grip. They petitioned the government to investigate Jones, and Jeannie even wrote a book about their harrowing experience. All of which infuriated the group's leader. Jones called the Mills traitors and threatened their safety. The cult's penchant for violence really escalated in 1978 when senior members assassinated California Congressman Leo Ryan. Jones then commanded over 900 of his cult members to drink poison at a retreat in Jonestown. Some, including women and children, were forced to consume the liquid at gunpoint. What became known as the Jonestown Massacre was one of the largest mass suicides in history. In 1980, with the event fresh in the public's memory, people theorized about what had happened to the Mills. Some believed that former members of the People's Temple had created hit squads and were now hunting down their enemies. But law enforcement had a different theory. Coming up, police apprehend a surprising suspect.
I'm Sarah Turney, host of Disappearances, a Spotify original from Parcast. In 2020, I used social media to help bring justice to my sister Alyssa's nearly two decades-long disappearance. Now, I'm exploring the many reasons people disappear, and finding that the truth may be even harder to locate than the person. Who forced a famed explorer to lose his way? What did a missing Hollywood starlet leave behind? And how could the heiress to a Chicago candy fortune just vanish? Every Thursday on Disappearances, join me for a deeper look into history's most gripping missing persons cases. Tracking timelines, analyzing clues, and piecing together as many answers as possible to find the actual truth. Follow the Spotify original from Parcast Disappearances. Listen free only on Spotify.
Now, back to the story. On February 26, 1980, Jeannie, Al, and Daphne Mills were shot and killed in their California home. The public suspected that this was an act of revenge by the People's Temple, but the police set their sights on a different suspect, the Mills' son, 17-year-old Eddie. He was in the house at the time of the murder. When Eddie's grandmother found the rest of the family dead, investigators were confused as to why Eddie was left unharmed. He also claimed he never heard the multiple gunshots. Making matters worse, officers found small traces of gunshot residue on one of Eddie's hands. At first, prosecutors debated over whether they should go after Eddie. Eventually, they decided against it, claiming the gunshot residue wasn't strong enough evidence to solely convict him on. And as it turned out, he wasn't the only one who didn't notice the gunfire. Next-door neighbors claimed they didn't hear anything either. So, with no credible leads, the case fizzled out. Until a few decades later, when an investigator named Russ Lopes dove back into the original files. After conducting several new interviews, he came to believe that Eddie actually was guilty. Lopes convinced the Berkeley Police Department of his theory. In December of 2005, the now 43-year-old Eddie returned to the Bay Area from his new home in Japan. Once he arrived at the airport, he was arrested by police. But the cops had made a critical mistake. According to state law, they should have filed charges within 48 hours of arresting him. But that time frame came and went because it wasn't sufficient time for prosecution to review the case presented by police. The police released Eddie. His older half-sister Linda told the East Bay Times, quote, "I know Eddie did not do it. I don't care who did it. It's so far in the past now." It was later revealed that the evidence Lopes had gathered still wasn't enough to endorse a conviction or even stand a trial. Defeated, the Berkeley Police Department closed the case once more. Whoever shot the Mills family back in 1980 remains at large. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound design by Paul Libeskind, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Matthew Teamstra, with writing assistance by Sarah Batchelor and Lori Gottlieb, and fact-checking by Cheyenne Lopez. I'm Vanessa Richardson.